Very little is known about St Hilde, other than the few pages in Bede's ecclesiastical history. And one wonders whether it's because she was a woman, because there's plenty of stuff you can find about the male Northumbrian saints. But Bede tells how Hilde's mother had a vision when Hilde was a baby of a bright jewel that shone more and more brightly until it was giving light not only to the whole house, but the whole community and to the whole land. And when she consulted her bishop about this, he said that he thought that this was a vision for the baby that she had there, who would be a jewel to bring light to the land in which they lived, which was in Northumbria. Hilde was baptised. She came from a royal family. She was baptised by the Bishop of York, by Paulinus. And at age 30, she became a nun and was very quickly made abbess of a new religious house in Hartlepool. Now, this was in 649, so we're talking about the first century here. She moved to Whitby in 657 and established a house there, and that's the place that she's famous for, as being abbess of the community in Whitby, which was a double house. It was both monks and nuns living together under one abbess and under royal patronage as well. It was obviously an exceptional place, because it produced no fewer than five bishops and was known for its deep learning and its piety. Hilde is probably best known today for being the host of the Synod of Whitby, which took place in 664. It was an effort to sort out the ecclesial identity of the land, of a unified kingdom of Northumbria. There'd been conflict over the ages. There's been enough drama in the story of in the run-up to Whitby to build an entire TV miniseries about it, if you want. The king is deposed and killed, his young sons flee into exile, there's marriage for love, or more likely for convenience, and to unite the dynastic ambitions of competing royal houses. And by the time we get to the Synod of Whitby, they've got the problem that King Oswy comes from one branch and follows the Celtic tradition, and his wife follows the Roman tradition. There were two particular problems that the synod had to solve. The first one was, what date do we celebrate Easter? And the second world-shattering problem that was before them was, wait for it, how should monks wear their hair? Should it be the Celtic tradition, where they shaved off the front half of the hair, or should it be the Roman one, where they shaved off a bit in the middle? Considering that actually it didn't affect the nuns at all, you might think that Hilde took a rather sort of dim view of the whole thing. But anyway, it had to be settled, and it had to be sorted out. It wasn't just a question of church calendars and politics. It was a question of actually keeping the kingdom together, of keeping everybody, if you like to say, sort of singing from the same service sheet. It was remarkably successful. And that community in the northeast has been famous for thousands of years since. Its traditions still live on. We lived in Durham for 4 years, and you couldn't escape the traditions there. The saints of Lindisfarne and Iona that they honoured, and going south to Whitby in the ruins of the old abbey that was Hilde's Abbey. Interestingly, always known as Hilde in that area. The Church of England calendar has turned her into a Hilda, but Hilde was the name that she was known as there, and there is still a college in the University of Durham named after her, St Hilde and St Bede. She was more than just a hostess for that particular synod. She was a peacemaker. She brought various communities together because she realised that actually it was ultimately fairly unimportant as to which calendar you used to celebrate Easter. What was important that you celebrated it. What was important was that God became incarnate in Jesus and then lived and died, and his Father raised him from the dead. And that was the importance of Easter. And that was what needed to be said. And one of the things that Hill was particularly good at, largely unsung, was realising that the common people didn't speak the academic Latin of the church, which was the language of her community that she would be spending all day with. They spoke Anglo-Saxon, and the gospel needed to be preached in Anglo-Saxon. And the story of Jesus and the rumour of God needed to be spread abroad in Anglo-Saxon and not trapped within the church. And that was the bright jewel that her mother's vision had given her, to be a spreading flame and a spreading light in the community. She also knows that her identity has nothing to do with which pattern of male baldness her male brethren should adopt. She knows that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Be dressed for action, have your lamps lit, we hear in the gospel. Hilda is ready. The church that operated entirely in Latin, she had her lamps lit in the Anglo-Saxon tongue, and we are the inheritors of that tradition even today. And in her reconciling of two parties quite vehemently opposed to each other, the Roman tradition that was seen as a foreign import that had come up from Canterbury in the south, and the ancient Celtic tradition that had come over from Ireland, well, started in Britain, went over to Ireland, came back to Britain again. Bringing peace between those two seemingly irreconcilable points of view was important, and it was achieved. In the people of the USA today, there's a mixture of hurt, confusion, and anger, juxtaposed with, in some, relief and joy, and probably in the latter, tinged with maybe an unhelpful dollop of triumphalism. Don't be afraid, and like Hilda, let's pray that the people of that great country could be ready to carry their lamps burning brightly with the flame of God's reconciling love into an unknown future. Let our lights enable others to find solid ground, to live in grace, and face the future with hope and not fear. The only surviving words that we have of Hilda are, trade with the gifts God has given you, bend your minds to holy learning that you may escape the fretting moth of littleness of mind that would wear out your souls. Brace your wills to action that they may not be the spoil of weak desires. Train your hearts and lips to song which give courage to the soul. Being buffeted by trials, learn to laugh. Being reproved, give thanks. Having failed, determined to succeed.